something he was good at. Probably the thing he was best at. He had three people he could trust with his life, running free in a country that he knew well. And there was a stout blade sheathed in his belt. He'd read in an old book once, or it might have been in a crumbling vid, if you're going down, take some of the bastards with you. Ryan was a realist, and he knew that long before sundown, they would probably all be mangled corpses, dragged behind horses, ready to be shown to the people of the Ville. So die all traitors. Something like that. But right now, they were sprinting along a narrow trail, beeches and sycamores on either side, the sound of their feet softened by the carpet of dead leaves. Ryan led the way, followed by Christy, her flaming hair tied back to avoid its catching on branches. Jack came third, his white mane similarly clutched in a length of twine. JB jogged easily at the rear. Despite his slight build and age, the armorer kept himself honed to a critical edge of fitness. They'd only had a few minutes for a council of war. There had been two simple possibilities, split up or stay together. They had all agreed that their only razor-slim hope was to keep together. Ryan remembered the area called the Oxbow Loop. The river was known locally as the Sorrow, on account of the number of times it flooded and took away livestock and homes, and folks. It was true that nobody could hope to try to get across the Sorrow. She ran at this time of year like a ravaging animal, her course studded with jagged granite boulders that turned the brown flood to scudding foam. With a long fixed rope from bank to bank, it might be worth the gamble. Set against dying, it might be worth it. But without a rope, it was a fine way of chilling yourself. Across the neck of the Oxbow was a strip of trail less than a quarter mile long, with an expanse of stunted bushes and low scrub. With mounted men keeping watch there, it would be death to try to cross it. Christy had suggested they could hide until dark and then break out. Ryan had shaken his head. They could escape the dogs by going for the trees, but they'd get trapped, and the men would follow the barking of the hounds and pick them off.
Easier than hunting fish in a can.
What are you looking for?
Ways to fight and kill us some hounds. Maybe bring in a Sekhmet or two. Then get us a couple of blasters. Then we'll see what happens.
They heard the pack arrive with Baron Harvey Carter a little after 2 hours past noon. There was a moment of silence. Then, the second the pack caught the trail of the runaways, there was the spine-freezing sound of hunting dogs in full cry.
Best draw the blades. Be needing them soon.
Got to trout with hunted dog.
Take out a hamstring.
Any place we could make a stand?
Places I knew as a kid. No good for this, though. There's a small redoubt where some of the Bill's gas is stored. Always double locked. In any case, you get inside it and they got you.
The sound of the dogs was already beginning to close in on them, with frightening speed. Jack looked to their left, where there was a narrow stream meandering gently between low, muddied banks.
Water, fuck 'em.
Not these bastards. Mutie bred. Take the scent out of the air as well as the ground.
When hounds are on the trail, you can distract them with blood. Any blood will turn them.
Yeah, that's my thinking.
The Oxbow Loop was a wilderness of tall trees and stunted bushes, with patches of deep swamp and tangling willows. There were a few clearings where the sun lanced through with a startling brightness that made you blink at it, and acres of leprous earth where only speargrass grew. Streams divided and subdivided the land. Even as a child, Ryan had known it as an eerie place, tainted with death. Renegades had been driven there to die for several generations, and there were handed down tales of runaway slaves being hunted to their lonely and fearful deaths in the Oxbow Loop during the Civil War. Ryan led the others at a fast pace, moving to where he'd once had a hiding place, a den where he would come when the bullying of Harvey became too much to bear. Nobody ever found it. Nobody ever tracked him into the wilderness by the Sorrow. He knew that the wind and the rain would have torn down his woven brushwood secret, but the place was good for a stand. The dogs would split up into smaller hunting units, and the terrain would make it impossible for them to maintain close contact. The biggest and strongest animals would be in the lead, the rest strung out behind them. Not far from the gas door, where a smaller stream looped in a near circle, was a steep bank with several stately live oaks nearby, places a man with a knife could turn and dodge and protect his back against a charging dog. They were nearly there. The howling was very close. So close that they could distinguish the echoing sound of individual animals. One in particular was racing ahead, seemingly less than 100 paces from them. Jack looked at Ryan.
Can hear a horse. Sick man?
Could be. Want to go for him?
The albino boy, face streaked with gray mud, hair plated with dirt, nodded.
Get blasted. Be help. You take dogs.
Ryan patted him on the shoulder, watching the lad as he vanished into the undergrowth, wriggling through invisible gaps. Raised in the bayous of Louisiana, this was like home to Jack.
I'll take the first one. JB, you got the second. Christy, pick up what's left. Make it quick and ugly. Put him down and put him out.
They stood in a loose semicircle, backs against the earth bank, tall trees on either side to give some measure of protection on their flanks. Suddenly, over the rotting stump of a decayed walnut tree, burst the pack leader.
Fire blast!
The fragmented sunlight dappled the animal's sleek coat like scattered gold. The crossbreed frothed at the muzzle, teeth bared. Its eyes glowed like embers.
It's mine!
Ryan took a half step forward. He didn't have time to say more. The dog was enormous, its side streaked with innumerable old scars. Its muzzle was long and narrow, the jaws wide. The top of its lean head came higher than a man's waist, and its weight must have been close to 120 pounds. Dogs like that were trained to go either for the throat or for the genitals. Ryan had seen sect dogs bred to take an intruder's arm and hold him. Not the Cotter pack. They were trained only to hunt and to kill. It went for his throat. Ryan half-turned, protecting his neck from the foaming teeth. He used the dagger almost like a hammer, ramming it with all his power at the side of the animal's own muscular neck. In the last fraction of a torn second, the hound tried to avoid the blow, but it was too far committed to its attack. The knife opened up its throat, blood jetting sideways, soaking the dry earth 15 feet away. The animal jerked and kicked, hooked on the blade like a gaffed salmon. Ryan used the impetus of the rush to push it away, withdrawing the knife, feeling hot blood spurting over his wrist. His thrust had been so deadly that it had penetrated into the chest cavity, and as the dog fell, there was blood and air frothing from the cut. The black beast stumbled forward, muzzle striking the dirt, its hind legs scrabbling to give it purchase, to turn and go again at the man, but Ryan was quicker. He stooped and hamstrung the dog, crippling it, leaving it a whining, helpless thing. It snapped feebly at him as he moved back, but it was no longer a threat. Even as he straightened, Ryan saw the second, third, and fourth hounds come leaping into the small clearing. JB stood straight and calm, waiting until the last second before ducking and turning, hand faster than the eye could follow. He opened up the dog's belly, spilling its guts and bloody loops, stepping away from the crazed animal as it bit and tore at its own stomach. Christy faced a smaller, leaner dog, a sinewy bitch that jumped incredibly high, going to the woman's exposed throat. Christy's reflexes were breathtaking. She stooped, knife held point up, and stabbed the dog through the center of the breastbone. The creature tried to twist in the air, but it was dying even before it hit the earth. Three of the four were down and done in less time than it took to draw a deep breath. The last of the dogs was a grizzled veteran, seamed along the flanks, one eye staring blankly ahead of it. It hesitated between the three potential victims for its slavering teeth. Christy was off balance, and Ryan saw the dog turn to her.
Over here, you son of a bitch!
He managed to distract it, drawing its attention to where he stood above the corpse of the chilled pack leader. It came in on a crabbing, sidling attack, keeping its belly low to the earth, head to one side, watching Ryan through its good eye. In the brief pause, Ryan could hear more dogs coming toward them, and the clatter of hooves. Someone was shouting in an enraged, hoarse voice.
Watch out!
The warning wasn't necessary. This animal wasn't like those in the first trio. This was a wily campaigner that saw three of its pack dead or dying, and a man with a long silver tooth in its hand. It came in, feinting to spring, then snapped at Ryan's knee. He only just dropped his guard low enough, cutting the dog along its shoulder. But it was lightning fast, biting at Ryan's knife hand despite its wound. The teeth missed, but the muzzle wrapped him across the knuckles, making him drop the blade.
Gaia!
Christy quickly reversed her own knife to throw it at the dog, but the animal was too close to Ryan. The dog jumped for his throat, jaws gaping, its foul breath making Ryan gag. Its sightless eye rolled skyward, the other fixed on the man's face with a demonic intent. There wasn't time to dodge. As it jumped, he braced himself for the charge, grabbing at the raking front paws, gripping one in his right hand and one in his left. A Tex-Mex puma hunter from down south, near Lubbock, had taught him this trick during one long night of drinking. Ryan had never had the chance to try it before now, and he was only going to get the one chance to try it. With all of his power, Ryan wrenched the animal's forelegs apart. The hound's rib cage was burst apart by the savagery of the man's attack, rupturing its heart and lungs in a single devastating moment. Its head snapped back, and its good eye glazed. The body shuddered as life departed, and Ryan was able to drop the lifeless corpse into the dirt at his feet.
Nice. Very nice.
Thanks, friend.
Ryan stooped to pick up the fallen dagger and grip it, ready for the next wave of attacking dogs. Christy stooped to clean her own blade and the dry earth by her boots.
Getting real close. If they all come together, we'll go down.
It was undeniably true. Over the years, Ryan had seen a few vids from before the long winters and read some books as well. One or two were adventure stories, where the hero always seemed to have a plan. Right at that moment, Ryan didn't have any real plan at all. Kill as many of the dogs as possible, even take a few Sekhmen along with them. Live for an hour or so before buying the farm yourself. Half a dozen of the pack appeared, muzzles foaming, red-eyed, on the edge of the clearing. They were hesitating, cautious, as they scented and then saw the dead dogs. Ryan, Christy, and the armorer faced them, knives blood-slick and ready, knowing it wouldn't be easy to hold off so many of the killer animals at once.
Back to back. Don't let them get in behind us. For as long as we bastard can.
The dogs sniffed uncertainly at the trampled ground, edging closer to their prey. The open space reeked with spilled blood, and it quieted the animals. In the woods beyond them, the noise of horsemen and shouting came nearer. Ryan licked his lips, tasting his own sweat. It wasn't going to be long now. Not for the first time in the past few hours. He was conscious that he had fled the Villa Front Royal to save his life. Now, within a day or so of his return, after 20 years, he was going to lose that life. The crack of a whip seemed to trigger the crossbreeds. Like greyhounds loosed from the slips, they charged simultaneously. Ryan braced himself for the attack. Only one animal escaped the unexpected burst of gunfire, and it turned tail and ran back toward the huntsman. JB grinned at Ryan and Christy.
Thank you, Jack. One of the M16s. Once you've heard it, you never forget.
Jack appeared like a ghost from the thick brush. He held the smoking rifle in his right hand, and his lips were parted in a broad smile.
Found this in hand a dead sick man. Didn't want no more.
Thanks, Jack. Now they know we've got a blaster, it's a different game. They'll hold the dogs back and press us in toward the river to trap us there. Spare ammo?
Bitch, ain't it?
I can hear them, lover. You're right, calling the hounds in. I can hear your brothers screaming for Sekhmen to come in after us. No takers. Not with half a mag left in the blaster.
Without the dogs, we could... No, they'd... Fire blast, of course! Follow me.
Where?
The gas door.
Ryan ran toward the northeast, farther into the Oxbow Loop.